You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Need another big third down conversion. Meyer looking to throw. Fires deep down the left side for Blythe, and he has the catch. Tiptoeing the sidelines. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Todd Blythe, his fourth of the day.
Unbelievable.
Here you go. What are you doing?
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Cyclone Nation, welcome back. Meyer to Blythe podcast. K-State game week. Took a week off. We're back. Iowa State's back. We don't have to watch those stupid Hawkeyes anymore. We can watch our Cyclones this week.
But that's not why we're here. That's not know, what we're here to talk about.
We're here to talk about.
No, what we're here to talk about is Brett Meyer.
Listen, no.
Can we release? Can it be released yet? Is it even out there?
But let me do this. It's Meyer to Blythe podcast.
Okay, sorry.
I'm your host, Brett Meyer, joined as always by Todd Blythe, my co-host. Todd,
hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What's going on? What's new?
I'm here to talk about Brett Meyer being inducted into the Iowa High School Hall of Fame. Round of applause, Brett Meyer going in, legendary quarterback from Atlantic High School, state champion, MVP of the whatever you call it, the Dome state title. What is the official MVP award you got?
I think it was just the all.
I think it was. Don't play the humble game.
Well,
with
I'm
me.
Just saying, tell you what it is. It's like for the Dome. And you know who was
all class MVP.
You know who was so mad that I got it was Scales, because he ran for like 1,000 yards in 2 games.
Scales is a monster in high school. Anyway, no, that's awesome, man. Congratulations. So yeah, just wanted to lead off, let the people know that our wonderful host here and former quarterback at Iowa State is finally overdue, but finally getting into the Iowa High School Football Hall of Fame.
Okay, so first off, thank you. Second off, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. It. First off, do you say second? What do you say? First off,
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, I'll say this. Two things. You're already in. You got in first, which I think was just terrible. No, I'm kidding. You deserved it. But overdue. So part of, like, I got the call. Guy sends me an email from like their communications department. It's like, hey, give me a call. I'm like, okay, just gave him a call. Hey, congratulations, all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, who else is going in? He's like, okay, so your coach, Dan McCarney, how is coach? First off, that's awesome. I'm probably more excited about like,
that's pretty cool.
Going
with him.
Yeah. And being there with him. And then some guy named, this guy played at Iowa. He's an offensive lineman. I don't know. What's his name? But Coach Mack going in is way overdue. But you know, who knows? Maybe they had to wait till he was done coaching.
Yeah, I guess it'll be cool to get him back. It'll be cool to go in with him. Yeah, the other guy you were telling me earlier, is it Robert Gallery that was going in?
I'm just joking.
Never heard of her.
Yeah.
He went on to have a decent little career, I think.
Number two overall pick. I think he played in 10 years in the league, something like that. But it'll be and I think that the people from last year who were inducted are going in this year because they didn't obviously have it last year because of COVID.
Oh yeah. So that's cool.
But it's like there's some kind of deal at halftime of the 5A now state title game, which is I think it's November 19th, he said.
I'll be there though with wearing my Brett Meyer Atlantic jersey.
No, I'm putting you on a do not
black and gold number seven.
Do not invite list. Anyway, it's like we're supposed to have our baby that Monday, the following Monday. So I told him, like, yeah, you know, I'm put me down as a maybe. I'd love to come. But if baby somehow comes early, then we won't be there. But it's cool. Testament, obviously, we had a lot of good coaching and teammates and just everything went from Atlantic on through Iowa State. So yeah, it's fun.
Man. Congratulations.
Yeah. What was your feeling when you got the call?
Same thing. I mean, just a cool call to get. It was kind of out of the blue. I didn't even expect it. I went in with Sage, which was cool. So another, Iowa State legend and a guy I've gotten to know over the years. just very cool, very humbled, very honored to be able to go on it's a heck of a list with, all the greats that have ever gone through Iowa high school football. And to get recognized for that, for the work you did for your high school, it's kind of cool to, you and I think we both get a lot of recognition and, stuff for what we did in college at Iowa State, which is awesome. And I think we both can say that we love every minute of that, but to be able to get recognized, for what we did in high school for our hometowns and our high schools, was pretty cool. Cause that part of it doesn't happen as much. So very cool, but.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Hopefully, hopefully my high school coach and some others can join in. I'll definitely invite them, but pretty cool. So, and I'm sure Atlantic will probably be wrapping up their state time. Kidding. We're not quite at the level of the state title game this year, but is Indianola going to be there? Probably not. Since, well, who knows? Now that you're not there, it might be better. So.
Okay. Moving. We're just going to move on then. Let's go. Let's talk about K-State now that we've officially got into the Meyer insulting Blythe portion of Meyer to Blythe. What do you think? What do you know about K-State? I don't know much other than their record. And then I will say, if anybody's looking for a preview of this game, K-State's website has an incredibly in-depth preview of the game and then also just their team and their kind of a recap of their season overall. This game is always close. It doesn't matter what the records are coming in. This game is always tight. Both teams play each other tight. I didn't realize, we haven't beaten these guys at their place in a long, long time.
2004. Remember that game? Where we
that was that the last time?
Yeah.
We came back and.
Yeah. LaMarcus Six had a pick six and then Cephas forced a fumble. And I think Mosier might've recovered it or someone, maybe somebody did. And then.
Yeah. We came back I forget what we were down. We were down a bunch. We came back and that's what made us bowl eligible. I remember that game.
Todd Miller.
Yes, Todd Miller had a touchdown on a slant. Just big body and people out there, all 5'8", 5'9" of them. That might be being generous. Sorry, Mills. They got their quarterback last week at least 2 weeks ago, last time they played against Oklahoma. Skylar Thompson, he's been around for a long time. He's played a lot of football for him. He's a good player. And obviously he showed it just the difference that he makes coming back. They gave Oklahoma everything they could handle and almost pulled off the upset and the comeback there in the fourth quarter. I think it was 37-31 it ended up.
Yeah, they played
a real close game.
Yeah. I'm looking at this is crazy. So our game from 2004, we were down. Basically we outscored them in the fourth quarter, 28-6.
But 28 in the fourth quarter.
Jeez. Yeah. So we had, let's just look at this here. It's kind of crazy. We had, they turned the ball over four times and we turned the ball over. Turnover. So yeah, like Todd Miller touchdown, extra point. Stevie Hicks had his long run. touchdown. Mm-hmm. Marcus Hicks had his pick. Yeah. So he had like essentially three touchdowns in the final like 2 minutes of the game, something like that. So
yeah, that was a fun day. That was a fun celebration there in the corner with all of our fans that had come down.
I do remember that. Yeah. K-State, the Bill Snyder family.
Speaking, stadium. You know, to since we're kind of going back in time here and talking history to our days playing against K-State. So do you think the comparison is made between their current running back, this, you know, Deuce Vaughn, to a guy we played against, Sproles? Do you think that's a fair comparison outside of just height? I mean, Deuce Vaughn, he's a heck of a player. He's put up really good numbers. He's had over 100 scrimmage yards in every game this year. I don't know if you've watched him much. I've watched him. I mean, he is quick. He's good out of the backfield. He's a dynamic runner. But man, Sproles was something special. It's almost disrespectful, in my opinion, to compare this kid to what Darren Sproles did in college, and then obviously did it for a long, long time in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, if the topic ever comes up, like, you know, sometimes. You know how people always are like, you see this a lot on social, this is kind of like a one-off tangent, but people are always like, man, I get asked all the time. It's like, I think people make that up.
Like, you see it once or twice.
I'm and just all saying of a like, that's on, you know, on social media, it's like, people always ask me, it's like, do they really, or you just want to say this? So I don't get asked this question a lot, but I have been asked before, like, who's the best person you played against? And for me, the answer is always Adrian Peterson's like number one.
Yeah.
It's like, he's like tier one. And then number two would probably be, you know, Sproles is kind of right there. Like he was awesome. He was unbelievable. Like,
do you remember him?
He couldn't tackle him.
Do you remember him shaking down Greedy in the hole? Yeah, like Greedy came up to meet him in the hole, and there's, I'm not kidding, probably a hole that was only a guy his size could fit through. I mean, it was probably 18 to 24 inches across, and our safety came up and didn't tackle him.
And Greedy didn't miss a lot of tackles.
No, Greedy was a fantastic safety. He was a very sure tackler and a great player. But Sproles was, that dude was built different. I mean, literally built awesome. Different. He was very, very small.
To be that size and play, I mean, what did he play? 15 years in the league? And
yeah, I bet he played 14, 15 years.
And he was a guy that was like, San Diego moved on from him and like every team wants him. And then New Orleans moved on, and he goes to, like, he was unbelievable. Like, he was sick. Yep. So I don't know. I mean, this Deuce Vaughn kid is pretty good. He's averaging about 5 yards a carry. He's obviously, you know, I'm sure they use him in a screen game, and in the pass game averages about 10 yards of reception. He's a good player, but, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those natural comparisons, right? I mean, if you get a back who looks like somebody and is halfway decent, it's going to be a comparison there. So,
yeah. It's just like how coming out in the draft, you were probably compared to every black quarterback, just like I was only compared to every white receiver in the free draft process.
Yeah, played at Arkansas.
Anyway, just a funny little anecdote.
Matt Jones, the big dude, was that him? He was like,
yeah, Matt Jones. I was always compared to like receiver. Joe Giravicious and Drew Bennett that was at the Titans at the time. It's like one time.
traits, man.
But anyway, just looking at like a breakdown of the series. So all time, this is, I think it's the second longest I read somewhere. One of the longest, I don't know which one, the longest like consecutive meetings. Like it's 105 consecutive meetings. This will be the 105th consecutive season that we've played against each other. So we played 104, and Iowa State actually leads the series. We don't lead a lot of all-time series. We lead this one 51-49, and then four ties thrown in there as well. So we actually lead this series, but it is after 104 games. There's only a 2-game difference here. So it's a very good matchup through the years for sure.
Yeah. That's look at you, Brent Bloom, stat guy over here.
I'm reading this off K-State's website now. Let's be completely honest. I'll be completely transparent here. They did a heck of a job of research.
Yeah. But I mean, Kansas State, if you look at their games this year, started off good win with Stanford, who's starting to play a little bit better. And then kind of played two nobodies, and then, you know, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, who are going to be a lot of teams, obviously. And
yeah, both those teams are right in the top 12 right now.
Yeah,
so
Oklahoma State's crazy enough is being led by they always have a few guys that are, you know, defensively are like, you're supposed to be somewhere else, and they end up at Oklahoma State and just kind of always have a quarterback, running back, receiver. So those are two good teams. But yeah, I mean, we have it one down there, and, you know, our last probably 70
long, long
tries,
time.
It's been that long. So, I mean, again, the formula for us is always the same, right? Defense needs to show up. Can't have an off day. Like Baylor got behind and it cost us, right? We're not good enough offensively to be able to overcome that. And then our guys on offense, you know, we need to get, it really has to be like, you know, Brock shows up and is it's Brocktober. I got my t-shirt. I'm going to be rocking it Saturday at the house.
Damn right. Again.
Brocktober. He's got to show up, which he's done, and continually get better throughout the year, like he's shown us, and then get Breece going. And then our offensive guys, Charlie and, you know, Xavier, get them involved. But I think up front is the main thing. Offensive line wise, we just have to play better. Especially in the run game to get some push and get Breece going and, you know, protect Brock. So we don't have to be in our, you know, 13 and 12 personnel the whole day. And hopefully we
get
some receivers and some speed on the field and spread them out.
I know that's become like our identity and I don't want to go off on this, but you and I have talked like offline and I'm so sick of seeing three tight ends out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's worked in the past. I think the one thing about that is you're going to have tighter as a quarterback. Tight ends obviously are not as
all your throws are going to be under 15 yards.
Well, not that. It's just, you're going to have to throw on the tighter windows. And there's some quarterbacks where it's just life is so easy for them because, you know, it's bubble screens and it's using the width of the field
and it's space,
it's matchups and it's just adjustments and space. And you're never having to throw into tight windows. Whereas Brock, that's one thing where I think Brock's probably going to be better prepared for the next level is he's done that for 4 years. He's throwing the tight windows, timing, and he's experienced with that. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm excited about it. And, you know, obviously we're not going to come out and change our whole offense and go five wide, but
well, we should, Brett.
I know. I don't know that K-State's ever been known as like a crazy home field advantage from like a noise standpoint, but for whatever reason, we can't win down there. I know that the Paul Rhodes game where we had the worst non-call pass interference on.
Oh my gosh.
They called it and picked up the flag. And it was like,
that's what hurt.
Literally giving him a bear hug. And then, you know, we could have taken a knee and we decided not to, and didn't end up well, but
I'll be curious to see how we come out in this game with, after a bye week. I mean, that, you know, everyone always talks about how important it is to a mid-season bye week to come out, you know, with making any adjustments that you need to through the first 4, 5, 6 weeks. And so I'll be curious to see if there are any tweaks to the offense now that they've had a week to, you know, not have to set a game plan and just be able to go back to the basics and maybe not necessarily install, but maybe focus on different things. So it'll be, I'll be curious to see how that plays out, and then just the fact that we're playing a team who always plays us so tough and it really doesn't matter. They're very similar to us in how they play. They're going to be physical. They're not going to beat themselves. They're going to be very sound defensively. They're not going to turn the ball over a lot and they're going to look for turnovers on defense. So who knows how exciting it'll be. I don't know how high scoring it'll be, but it should be a good one to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited. 6:30 Saturday night. So it'll be fun.
Brett will be tailgating in Minnesota just all day. Just Maple Grove, just going nuts, waving his flag in his little subdivision there.
No, you're the one. I'm having 20 people over, and somehow I'm not invited. So,
well, it's father-in-law's birthday party, so it's like, you know, Britt's aunts and uncles and cousins, but
didn't matter.
All right, well, whatever. So
there's not going to be.
Hey, you know what? Stop by if you're free.
I'm not going to be in town, but thanks.
there you go.
No, man, we're excited about this one, so. The formula doesn't change. I think we're better than K-State. I think we have more talent than they do. And we just got to go down and obviously don't turn the ball over and probably just, let's just copy what Iowa does. Yeah, I know.
I hate saying that, but
no, it's, I think our philosophy and Coach Campbell's philosophy is not that different than what, you know, what Ferentz does. And
no, not at all. They are very similar, I think.
Well, I think it kind of is dependent on your team, obviously. If they had a better offense, I'm sure they wouldn't be as conservative. And, you know, they got this kid that just literally is just like, you know, backing wedges up 2 feet from the hole whenever he wants. His punt.
Yeah, that was pretty solid. And then, I think for both teams, the punters were the MVP in the game.
It was, yeah, I mean, I think if Penn State's quarterback stays in, they were kind of controlling the game. You're up 17-3 at one point. Mm. And then,
yeah, let's talk about that game a little bit. That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I watched a good amount of it.
And I get the argument that, and I've seen a lot of Iowa State fans, especially because obviously what I see on Twitter is my own little echo chamber of Iowa State fans talking about like, well, if the quarterback stays in, you know, Penn State wins by 2 scores. Well, there's a reason the quarterback didn't stay in. And there's a reason that Iowa this year has finished every game, basically at maybe literally finished every game facing the backup quarterback. Either they knock him out of the game or they get yanked because Iowa's playing, you know, so well and forcing the kid to have turnovers. So yeah, I get that argument, and like, I like that argument. As
the hit wasn't even that big.
No. But as an Iowa State fan, I like that argument, and I like to throw that in the Hawks' face. But at the same time, like, there's a reason the kid wasn't in there anymore. It's because he was, you know, playing against a really physical quality, you know, elite defense.
Yeah, but I think if he – I don't know. That backup was terrible, though.
The backup, yeah. The backup should not be on scholarship.
Well, I wouldn't say that. That's a tough spot to go. That place is, you know, it does get loud there, and it's, you know.
Yeah, but there were some throws that flat out just been completed that weren't.
I was just watching the fourth down play. I'm like, okay, you see where the blitz is coming from. Just replace the blitz. And he throws like the back and the flat. And there's just two crossers. Literally one of them would have scored. There's one guy for Iowa there who's following. His eyes are inside. But they run that defense where it's like, if you're a quarterback and all 11 eyes are just on you. I mean, they bring their blitzes, but very rarely they're going to be just line up in man and guys trailing. It's just, they don't do that. And that's why they're, you know, their safeties and corners are just literally standing there and just, they're in the right position. These
but they got their eyes on the quarterback. That's why
they get so many picks.
Yeah, they got a good front seven, so they get a little pressure, and then then they can sit back there, play center field, and I mean, they've got a lot of picks this year, and I don't want to take anything away from their DBs because they played obviously.
They really got good like more picks than anybody in the country in the last like 5 years by like 10 or something.
Yeah, it's insane how many turnovers.
I don't understand their D coordinator Parker. It's like, how was he not a head coach? Maybe he just doesn't want to be, or. And he did not, you know, parents doesn't promote him or something. It's like, I mean, all these D coordinators that are so good, it's like, how is he not a head coach?
What do you think? Speaking of head coaches, what do you think about Ferentz, his little comments in the media talking about the Penn State players taking a dive and say, well, you know, the only time anybody ever went down with injury was after we had a big play, and then they're back in a play later. And he's like, you know, our fans, we have smart fans that, you know, I think our fans smell the rat. I thought that was interesting. Yeah, he did. He came out and said that. And then Franklin, the Penn State coach, came back today and had a little 5-minute rant in his media session talking about like, well, what strategy is that? Like, when in my history, one, have you ever seen that? And two, what strategy is that? Who takes a dive to stop time against a huddle team? Like, I was not a tempo offense. They're not no huddle and flying around. They're a huddle team.
Well, Iowa's offense is not good enough where you have to do that anyway. So
exactly. So I think
Penn State's defense was really good.
And I did think Franklin made a point in the media session. He's like, how would you feel if you were a parent and your kid goes down on the field and all of a sudden you have 65,000 people booing him because he got hurt? Like, that's not a great feeling. That not a great look for the Iowa fans on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure every coach probably doesn't even have – every coach has probably done some shady little gamesmanship from time to time. And
never.
Who cares? It's – I mean, I don't – you know, I'm sure they Penn State was probably just knows that they had an opportunity to win a big game. And once their quarterback went down, they –
He did make a funny comment, Franklin did, when he said – he goes, at one point – the ball rolled off the tee on a kickoff and the fan and the crowd booed. What competitive advantage did we get from the ball falling off the tee on a kickoff? Which I thought was an excellent point.
Yeah. They're Iowa fans. They're idiots, but
yes. Move on. Oh, I love spicy take, Brett.
How about this spicy take? John Gruden will not coach again.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
No, he's not going to be involved with football. He's going to take whatever money he's made and he should go hide somewhere. That's,
you know what, I say that and then there's some,
somebody will hire him. Yeah.
No, I don't five, know 5 years hire
from,
him.
No,
yeah,
5 years from now, he's made his amends. He feels, you know, he's done that what he needs to do.
And an analyst somewhere.
Exactly. No. And he'll be a head coach.
He'll have his own podcast or something. And
he will do that.
It's one thing to have those views and be that, you know, just be that bad. It's another thing to email that, even if it's your private email, like you're emailing somebody who is like, you know, insert teamname.com. Like, would you, it's just like an age thing. And some, you know, maybe his generation in late 50s just doesn't quite grasp technology to realize that. And maybe that, 2011,
those messages aren't going away ever.
Well, and I guess I'll say in 2011 at the time, whenever you're sending these emails, we hadn't quite got to the point we are now in terms of, you know, things popping up. But man, that was, he checked every box, right? I'm going to go after color. I'm going to go after, you know, the
sexual orientation, gender. I mean,
gender, it's like, and the crazy thing is, and this has been covered, you know, top to bottom by all these different organizations, but I mean, there's 650,000 emails about the Washington football team, I should say, that just kind of, it'll probably be like deflate. What was it? No, it wasn't Deflategate. It was when the Patriots were stealing. Oh, the
Hillary's emails. Not Hillary's emails. Okay.
Apologies, Todd. Spygate. When Spygate happened, and then they just deleted the evidence. So,
hey, I tell you what. There's a lot of NFL personnel that woke up the next morning and just were scrubbing emails.
Doesn't matter. You scrub them all.
Select all, delete. I've seen people on, and again, Twitter is, I shouldn't look at it because it's just a toxic place, but people that are arguing with like, well, these were private emails between two individuals, so he got fired for his thoughts. Yeah, man, like when your thoughts are like that, you should get fired. I mean, you're in a position of authority, you're a coach, you're a leader of, you know, a leader of an organization, a leader of men, you know, so to speak, in terms of the football team. Yeah, maybe you should be fired if those are your views, especially the, you know, what a pro football locker room looks like in terms of diversity. And then, you know, they have the only player in the NFL, only active player in the NFL that is out as far as his sexual orientation. That's a guy in your locker room. I don't know how you walk in the next day and can look at those guys, you know, look those guys in the eye. So it's he needed to be gone. And I love the fact that they say he resigned. He didn't resign. He got fired. It's like he needed to be fired, not to be able to be resigned.
Yeah. It's be tough to face your team. It would be tough, but I don't see Gruden as like, he kind of was like this media darling and, you know, he's different. He grits his face and, you know,
he's old school. He's tough. For
old school. It's kind of like this young Mike Holmgren tree and Andy Reid and like this, you know, young offensive whiz. And all of a sudden it's like,
but like, do these emails, like what we know of John Gruden and his attitude and how, like, is anybody really surprised?
I mean, you look back,
surprised by this.
Yeah, I could absolutely see him being like this.
Yes.
Just 100%. So no, I'm not surprised, but I do think also there's probably a good amount of, not, I want to say a lot, but coaches out there who will deal with, like, not deal with, but have coached and recruited, whether it be college or coached in the NFL, like black players or just different types of players who just do it because they know they need to be with those players to win.
Yeah.
They don't exactly have their best interest at heart or don't really care about them as people, or, you know, could be racist or all the different things. So I wouldn't be shocked if you would, you know.
Football is very much an old boys club. If you look around the NFL, college football is better than the NFL, but it is very much not just an old boys club, but it's just an old, you know, it's an old white guy's game to be a, a head football coach. Hopefully this sparks some change, you know, whether it's in hiring practices or if nothing else, just is a shot across the bow to anybody that, you know, talks, thinks, God forbid, emails, things like this, that's no longer acceptable, in the world of, you know, the NFL or just sports in general.
Yeah. I'm glad he's not a coach anymore. And hopefully, yep. I don't know, he'll walk away with some money, I'm sure, just because, you know, whether it's like because I'm sure he knows he's probably got those emails himself when it's like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
You know, so maybe like a non-disclosure and we'll pay you $20 million to shut up and go away kind of a thing.
Yep. All right. Onto a better topic of conversation. Then I don't really have anything else after this, but just college football as a whole is what a wild Saturday we had last week. Like if there is ever a week for Iowa State not to play so that we could all just sit on a couch, drink some beers and watch every game that was going on, man, last Saturday was fantastic week of college football.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, every kind of window, right? The 11 o'clock window was OU Texas. And then the afternoon window was, I think that was kind of the Iowa game. And then, you know, two night games, it was Alabama getting beat.
Mm-hmm.
There was one other game that was good. Oh, was it Arkansas? Went to like overtime with Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah.
What was the other game? It was one other game. It was.
Yeah, Arkansas scored at the end and then went for two and didn't get it.
Yeah.
So Ole Miss hung on to win there.
I'll just go win it there.
Yeah. Yeah. The Alabama game, though, to lose to an unranked A&M team. Have you seen the video of his family that went viral?
It was pretty, you could see.
Watch that. I mean, cool. You talk about a ride or die. That girl, like she like bust down crazy. I don't know if it's wife, girlfriend, what it is, but she's completely invested. He makes the kick. She breaks down. She looks up, sees everyone charging the field, and she does not hesitate. She's going to go find 47. She hops the wall and takes off.
Yeah,
I thought that was really cool. That was cool to see.
I mean, you sit there and you think about A&M though, and just like somebody was like, one of like the NFL gurus are like, yeah, A&M has like 5 first, second round picks. So it's like, they just, you know, kind of screwed up at quarterback and didn't, one guy gets hurt and messing around with stuff. But that to me is like watching that game. And then like, even our games, like when we play, you know, we'll play Kansas State or, you know, the Iowa game against Penn State, and looking at like the talent gap between the teams in the SEC, because A&M's had a top 5 class every year for like since Jimbo's got there. I mean, it's just like, I hate, you know, the SEC, all this, and it's annoying, but it's like, yeah, there's so much talent in that league. And I would, I don't know, like if you put say like Penn State or Iowa against to play A&M, there's just so many athletes on A&M's team, and so many, I mean, obviously Bama's Bama, but I mean, A&M is just like, they got good. Like this guy that returned the kick for him, took the kick back for a touchdown outside block punt. He's like a 10-200 guy, world-class speed. Just throw this guy back there, returns kick for a touchdown.
Yeah.
All the receivers they have, they got 2 or 3 D linemen, they're NFL guys. It's like,
I mean, that's one thing I'm looking forward to is Iowa. I mean, who are we kidding? They're probably going to run the table because their division in the Big Ten is absolute garbage. And then all of a sudden they're going to have to face some of these teams. And I am so excited to see Iowa's defense. Cause I think Iowa's defense is fantastic. I'm so excited to see them play an offense with just speed everywhere. That's going to be so much fun. I mean, the chess match that'll go on between coordinators will be so much fun to watch. The SEC is wild. Alabama getting beat is wild. They got beat by an unranked team and dropped 2 spots in the rankings. And I get like, they are still probably the best team in college football, but if the results don't matter, then let's just, you know, line up Georgia and Alabama right now and we'll play for the title today. But otherwise, like if you lose, everybody else is going to drop 5 or 6, 7 spots and they drop 2 spots. But you know, whatever.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know who, I guess it's a certain thing of like, you know, who else are they going to put there?
All the other teams that were there. I mean, and I'm not arguing, you know, for or against either way. Just I'm saying that if anybody else loses to an unranked team, they're dropping pretty far and Alabama does it. It's like, well, okay, they lost.
Yeah, but I look at if you look at the rankings, it's like, okay, so they have Ohio State is right behind them. Penn State is behind them. You're not going to put Michigan's not better than Alabama. Oregon's not, Michigan State, all these teams. So Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it's like,
yeah, it's a common sense thing to me. It's like, yeah, we know they're still probably the best team, or at least one of the top two or three best teams in college football. My only thing is like the but, which is, but if anybody else is in that situation, loses to an unranked team, they're really sliding down the board. But I mean, yeah, whatever.
Cincinnati's third. Iowa's two. Cincinnati, Oklahoma's fourth. Like, Oklahoma's probably not the fourth best team in the country. Who knows? With their new quarterback.
Well, they got I'm glad you said them. They got a quarterback controversy now. So
no, they don't. They're going to play. There's no controversy.
You think it's the new kid? What is it? Williams,
Williams, the freshman? He was the number one player overall in his class.
Spencer Rattler was the number one Heisman contender coming into the season.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's not playing well this year. So this
He's not, but it's wild to me that a kid that before the ball was snapped this year, and he was very much deserving of the accolades after the way he played last year, but the Heisman front runner just got benched by a true freshman. You really hate to see it for teams like Texas and Oklahoma. You hate to see them see adversity.
Yeah, I don't know. I listened to Trent Dilfer was on a podcast, and he works with a lot of these quarterbacks. And he was just saying that Rattler definitely is a kid who's, and not to say it's a bad thing, but he's going to be on social media. He's going to be out there. And this Caleb Williams kid is just different in terms of like his demeanor is just flatlined the whole time, which I think is pretty good for playing the quarterback position. That's kind of the demeanor that you want. And so I don't know. There's going to be
like you just boring like and it's great demeanor. Just kidding. Did you see, and this came up, it came out, I've never seen it before, but it came up, I think, because of all this stuff, that Spencer Rattler, how he was seen walking off the field by himself after the game, not celebrating with the team. He didn't celebrate Caleb Williams, the long touchdown run. And then some videos popped up of him in high school, like interacting with his team and just yelling at his receivers, and his receivers being like, dude, all you do is criticize and yell at us, and you never say anything good, and you never, like, all you do is put us down. It's like, you're the cockiest dude out here. And like, Spencer Rattler was, I mean, I don't know him personally, and I'm basing this purely off of these videos from high school. Kid was a piece of shit in high school. I mean, he is not somebody that you would want to hang around with and go to battle with. Super, super talented, but at least in high school, not a kid that you'd want to strap it up with on Friday nights. But
yeah, but this is the first time he's faced adversity probably. So we'll see how he reacts. I mean, most likely if this Caleb Williams takes over and is the guy through the rest of the year, Rattler will. Start at basically every school and not name, less like five schools and with good quarterbacks. Right. I mean, he's that good. So he'll have options if he decides to transfer at the end of the year, and, maybe this will humble him a little bit.
I saw something that really made my brain start working real hard is what if Spencer Rattler transfers to Iowa? I mean, to put that kind of quarterback with that program, that just the discipline, the defense that they have. I don't know, that made my head start spinning a little bit. So certainly hope that that doesn't happen. We don't need to face, well, I don't know. We might never play Iowa again, so who knows, but the Iowa fans would be insufferable if all of a sudden Spencer Rattler showed up in black and gold.
I'm going to guess that probably is not going to happen.
No, this is purely a hypothetical situation.
If I were him, I would, look, there's the SEC schools that will probably do just about anything to get a good player like him. So
yeah,
he's not going to have any.
I mean, we talked about it last week. Georgia is always screwing up the quarterback position.
That's going to be why they're not going to win, because Alabama is going to be good enough to be more effective offensively versus them. And Alabama's quarterback is like a number one pick type of kid. And Georgia's quarterbacks are like future GAs and college coaches. I mean, just straight up.
That is a great
I'm just being honest. Like they're whatever. They're five stars. They're high recruits. One, I think, was at USC, but I mean, if you look at, they're just kind of guys, whereas like,
they're going to be super young coordinators at Florida, International when they're 28.
Moore's, but this is like this is the same program that, had Justin Fields and who was the other kid, Jake Fromm, in the program. And I understand they had a lot of success with Fromm, but if you're just looking at the position and look at those two players and that's who you pick, and that's probably what because you know Georgia's right there with Alabama in terms of talent and
yeah, you put Justin Fields on that team. And,
come on, man!
If he wins a starting job and doesn't leave, I mean, you got to think
not
that they
difficult. It just isn't like yeah. So, but sometimes defensive coaches don't manage quarterbacks really well. Quarterbacks and kickers, they screw them up. So, you know, it's Kirby's a defensive guy and he just needs to bring in like, I mean, think of what Saban's done. He probably hates Lane Kiffin, but he brought him in because, hey, he can call plays and he knows how to work a quarterback.
Yeah, he's a good X-Nose guy.
Completely transformed their entire program.
Yep.
Where they now they have the, I mean, their defense isn't, hasn't been great this year, but typically the Alabama defenses, and I'm sure they'll get it together. And but that defense, and now they have these offenses that are just ridiculous.
Yes.
And they have the best runner receivers that we've ever seen in the past handful of years. And they just reload and they're going to have two or three more first round guys coming out probably in the future. So
do you think that their run of receivers is better than like the Todd Miller, John Davis, Austin Flynn, Todd Blythe, Mylon Moses, Marquise Hamilton, RJ Summer, do you, like better than that run of receivers?
So if you look at, let's see, they had Amari Cooper.
You know what? Julio forget Jones. It. We don't need to look up stats. We don't need to look up NFL longevity.
Waddle, Heisman Trophy winner. Who's the guy? Yeah, they've had like seven first round receivers.
You've made your point. Moving on. Actually, I don't really have anything to move on to. That's pretty much all I got. Let's get after K-State this week. Love to get a win down in Manhattan. Hasn't happened for a long, long time. Perfect year to do it. Let's get this thing turned around, stay on the right direction here and finish strong. Anything else?
Finish strong. We're like halfway through the season. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Well, we're on the downside of the season now, aren't we? Kind of heading towards the finish line.
1-0. Let's go down to Manhattan and get out of that dump with a win.
This is a bad town.
I mean, Ames isn't, you know, isn't
Ames isn't City, what? Man. No, it's not. It's yeah, but Manhattan. Speaking of New York City, the fact that they're called Manhattan and they're just a trash town is hilarious.
Little Apple. No, Manhattan's terrible. It's at the rough scene. That's a tough place to host a visit is what we call it.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you guys going to do? Yeah, we go to a house party. But all right, go Cyclones. Let's get the win. We'll check back in next week.
That's right. Go State.